Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. I hope that we're coming through loud and clear. I'm not sure, as we have been in a very beautiful part of the country, just resting and getting some anniversary blessings together. Patricia and I are just thanking a moment of rest, and it's what a timing that is happening here, where the color on the trees are turning. The beauty is extraordinary. It's absolutely gorgeous out. But the most important right now, we're going to get into some important conversation, and I need to know whether or not we're coming through loud and clear. That would be very, very helpful. If you could give us a little thumbs up, let us know. I'd love to hear from you. And until that time, I'm going to begin the broadcast today with a verse out of Ezekiel chapter 39, and I believe it'll set the stage for where we're going to go today. It says in Ezekiel 39:21. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword, according to their uncleanness and according to their transgression have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Of equity, the throne of justice. And Father God says, even concerning his own people, I'm going to judge you. You're going to go into captivity, but I'm also going to display the glory of my judgment among the heathen. They're going to see that I am still the God of Israel, and I am going to turn the captivity of my people back to liberty, because through judgment turned to me. Now, the way that I view this, very, very honestly, in the days that we're living in, God is dealing with not just a nation in the Middle East 2,000 years ago or 3,500 years ago. He's dealing with a nation. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he calls the church, the ecclesia, made up of Jews and Gentiles, no exclusion here, it's all inclusive, that the ecclesia is a holy nation. He calls the Israel of God a nation. It's a scattered about people from all over the world. And I believe that God is going to gather together his people from the ends of the earth, according to scripture. And then the restoration we're going to see in the earth is the restoration of all nations when Yeshua comes to set up his kingdom upon this earth. I believe that very strongly. And then we're told in verse 25, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name after that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me when they dwelt safely in their land. None made them afraid. When I have brought them in from the people and gathered them out of the enemy's land and sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. So what a picture of restoration. And I believe while this had a partial fulfillment in Israel, in the world in which we live, I believe that the future fulfillment of this prophecy is that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. His glory will be revealed in the restoration of his ecclesia, his church, his Israel, made up of Jew and Gentile, the two becoming one new man in the earth. And of course, the nations of the earth are going to submit themselves to the glory of Christ. So, having said that, I want to move on to some things that are happening right now, because we have to watch the times that we're living in, and when we look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times, we do see a countdown to doom. We know that doom will become a reality on this earth, particularly as we get closer and closer to the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation. Doom will come upon the earth, not just in America, but around the world. And so I want to talk about some of the things that are happening in our country right now, as Max is barking like crazy at dogs walking by. So here is something I found very interesting out of the Prophecy News Network. It's called Law Enforcement Across America is Preparing for Massive Election Riots. Now, before I go any further, this is an up-to-date article. I need to know from the people that are tuned in right now if we're coming loud and clear. Are we sending forth a clear signal? We would like to know, just for the sake of not wasting time for anybody. So if you could just let us know real quick, just with a little thumbs up by pressing one on your dial pad or some other way, maybe sending a text, whatever, we can know that we're coming through loud and clear, and that would be very, very helpful. Anybody out there, press one on your dial pad. Just let us know, yes, you're coming through loud and clear. We would appreciate that. Let's take a call. I think this is from Brother Phil. And let's see. Yes, good morning, 321. Are you hearing us loud and clear?
Yes. A little choppy at times, but we can still understand.
A little choppy still, huh? Okay, so a little... Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. Thank you for that.
Okay.
But all right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try something here, and let's see if this works. Can you hang on for just a moment?
Sure.
Okay, so let me just try something. As Max is going crazy around here, it's hilarious. So I'm going to do something, if I can. And how choppy is it?
Sort of like every word in a couple of sentences in a row. It's like you hear the first part of the word, but not the next. And sometimes you can tell what you're saying, sometimes not.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's kind of a bummer, isn't it? I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But better and today than like yesterday.
Better today than yesterday. Okay. So I'm going to try something real quick. I'm going to try this from my phone, and I think it'll be worth it. I think the wait will be worth it. And then we'll go ahead and tune this out here. All right, so this may work. Just give me about 10 seconds. And I'm going to put this on mute. Hold tight now.
All right, so Are you able to hear that any better?
Right now you are clear. No choppy, nothing.
Clear as a bell?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Now,
thank
the only
Lord.
Thing is, how do I get to my other parts here? All right, so what I'll do, having said that, no, we'll leave that right there. If we're coming through as loud and clear as could be, and Miriam, just help me here for just, we're still coming through loud and clear?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So then what I'd like to do, I want to get to an article that I think is very important, and I'm going to read it here. And what it's talking about is law enforcement that is kind of preparing for the days ahead, as we're talking about a nation that is bracing itself for, oh, how am I going to do this? Well, I can't. My article is in there. So I don't know how to mute that. So here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. I've got an idea. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to release this little guy. Yes, of course. Lord, show us how to do this. Okay, Miriam, we're almost there.
Okay. And your speaking is totally clear right now.
Are we clear now, Miriam, or are we still choppy again?
It's clear. It's clear. I hear background, but it's probably buttons you're pushing, you know?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm going to try this right now. Let me just read this article, and hopefully it'll come across loud and clear. And if I start getting choppy, would you just let me know?
Yes. I'll do it maybe through texting. I'll text Pastor Patricia.
If, okay. Great. All right. Thank you so much. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and put you back on mute here, and we're going to go forward with this article. We're going to get this article out no matter what. So here's the article that I wanted to share. The fact that law enforcement officials across the nation are expecting widespread violence following the election should chill every American to the core. As I keep repeating over and over, violence is not going to solve anything, but much of the population is not listening to voices such as mine anymore. As you will see below, authorities have decided to plan for the worst because everyone can see what is potentially coming. If we can't hold a presidential election without violence at this point, how much longer can our system possibly last? No matter who ends up winning, I think that the election of 2020 will tell us a lot about how far America has already fallen. And unfortunately, yesterday, I was speaking about this exact thing, preparing for the worst, hoping for the best. And so I see, again, a connection to what we're doing. Continuing on in the article, thankfully, officials in most major cities do not have their heads stuck in the sand and have been preparing for massive riots following the election. In New York, the NYPD is literally training every day to deal with the riots and protests that they are anticipating. The NYPD is training every day and developing hundreds of extra cops as it braces for Election Day and its aftermath amid fears, riots, and protests could break out after the results are announced. In Los Angeles, officers are being told that they may need to reschedule their vacations so that they will be available for whatever may happen. Gee whiz. Okay. Moving on, the LAPD sent an internal memo to officers last week that said they may need to reschedule any vacations around Election Day as the agency prepares for possible protests or other unrest, according to the Los Angeles Times. In so many instances, law enforcement agencies are pointing to the riots that erupted in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd as the type of scenario that they want to be prepared for this time round. Even down in Texas, authorities in multiple cities are admitting that, quote, they are planning for potential unrest around the November 3rd election. So agencies in at least four major cities, Austin, El Paso, San Antonio, and Fort Worth, confirmed they are planning for potential unrest around the November 3rd election. Officials in other Texas cities declined to say whether they're doing the same. The intent of such preparations, said Tara Long, an Austin Police Department spokesperson, is to ensure the safety of the community while protecting the rights of people peacefully exercise their First Amendment rights. Of course, in some cities, the violent protests never seem to end. 4 years ago, chaos erupted in Portland when Donald Trump won the election, and the city has been racked by civil unrest ever since then. Portland police say they are preparing for possible unrest on election night after they saw riots after the 2016 presidential election. It was just the beginning of what would be 4 years of unrest, protests, and riots. Now, the 2020 election is just 3 weeks away, and local police is preparing for the possibility of continued unrest. Over in Minneapolis, shell-shocked officials continue to deal with an unprecedented wave of crime and violence, and the spokesman for the police told the press that their approach for this upcoming election is to plan for the worst. In Minneapolis, where the protests after George Floyd's murder raged for weeks, similar preparations are being made. This is a quote, we are aware that this may be a flashpoint and have made appropriate plans, Minneapolis police spokesman John Elder. Remember, plan for the worst and hope for the best. Now, what I find amazing about that is I'm just reading this article for the first time this morning. That was the message yesterday. And I wish to God somehow we could get that message in an uncrackled form, because I think the Holy Spirit was really ministering. And, you know, the power of the prince of the power of the air messes with technology once in a while. He says, I think that it is a good word for all of us. We continue to hope that peace will prevail. But if you aren't planning for the worst, you are definitely making a big mistake, said the author of this article. At this point, even the Justice Department is bracing for possible civil unrest, quote unquote. The following comes from the Washington Post. Bracing for possible civil unrest on election day, the Justice Department is planning to station officials in a command center at FBI headquarters to coordinate the federal response to any disturbances or other problems with voting that may arise across the country, officials familiar with the matter said. Though the Justice Department monitors elections every year to ensure voters can cast their ballots, officials' concerns are more acute this year that toxic politics, combined with the potential uncertainty surrounding vote tallies, could lead to violent demonstrations or clashes between opposing factions, those familiar with the matter said. Personally, I sincerely hope that authorities will be successful in minimizing unrest as much as possible. Any sort of political violence should break all of our hearts, because that should never happen in this country, says the writer of this article. Unfortunately, an increasing number of Americans are convinced that things in this nation will soon take a very chaotic turn. In fact, one recent poll found that 61% of Americans believe that we are heading toward another civil war. That was 61%. The poll, which included results from the Back to Normal Barometer survey, was conducted by three firms: Engagius, Sports and Leisure Research Group, and Roke Solutions. The poll results showed that over 61% of survey takers believe America is nearing a second civil war, with 41% who strongly agree with that assessment. Those numbers are truly shocking, and they are consistent with other surveys that I have seen. Okay, so let's see here. We may be having a major, minor issue. Let's see. Maybe not so. All right, so continuing on. Anger and hatred have been building up in our country for years, and it appears that we are about to reach a crescendo. I will continue to speak out against rioting, looting, and all forms of political violence, and many other influential voices are doing so as well. But there are also so many voices throughout our society that are just stirring up more anger and more hatred with each passing day. So I would encourage all of you to plan for the worst for the months ahead. It looks like it's going to be a very pivotal time in our history, and the more bitterly the election results are contested, the worse the chaos is likely to be. And when a winner is finally declared, many on the losing side will inevitably feel like the election was stolen from them. There is still time to avoid a worst-case scenario, but right now, it is difficult to imagine how all of this is going to end well. Now, what I wanted to say about this article, and then I'm going to shift to my my phone here in just a moment, but I'm pretty sure we're doing okay right now. The reason why this is happening in our country, the reason why people are bracing for violence, the reason why the highest echelons of power in our country are bracing for violence, is that if we could view it as a time of judgment, and what I mean by judgment is when God judicially takes the time to, after viewing the case of our nation, you remember what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? God came down to see if what he was really happening. He's been viewing, he's been watching us. You can get behind the scenes for just a moment with God looking at this country over the last generation, viewing, you know, all the things that have happened. And this is the time, this is the 2020 time where he's created on his calendar to step in and say, okay, well, this is where I'm going to judge, and he's going to make a decision. And based upon his judgment, after viewing the entirety of the nation, he doesn't just view part of it. He views every card, the good side, the bad side, the ugly side, all of it. And what we're going to experience, and I think this is a good barometer, what we're going to experience in this day of judgment upon the United States of America, as it's now being held accountable for what it's done in the last 50 to 60 years, I believe that the measure of the violence that is going to take place is the measure of the decree of God to allow it to take place. I believe that if we have crossed the point of no return, then you may as well plan for no return. No return to what? To normal, acceptable, what we've always known. That will be gone. That will not exist any longer, if in fact God allows for the release of the judgment to be that harsh, because he's going to judge perfectly to the degree of our sin. Our rebellion against him will be the degree of our judgment upon us. I think that's very clear. I think that's the way God works. I believe that's what we're going to see. So depending on the measure of judgment we are going to see in our country, the revelation of it. Now, here is another interesting article I wanted to share with you, because we talk about this all the time in our church. It's out of Daniel chapter 12 about the dramatic increase in travel and knowledge as an end time reality. I brought this up yesterday as well. And in this article, it begins with an understanding. Now, let's put the two together. Civil unrest in America, but also around the world. All around the world, there has been civil unrest. There has been social unrest through political and social agitations.
A little bit.
It's getting a little scraggly? Okay.
A minute ago.
So, well, then here's what we're going to do. We'll just hold on for 1 second, and let's see if I can get this to work for us. So in this article, I'll keep going for just a moment. It says 2,600 years ago, God provided the prophet Daniel with a number of visions concerning the future. In one of these visions, God revealed several events set to take place. All right, so hold on 1 second.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold.
All right. How scratchy is this? All right, but here we go.
So we should be a little bit clearer now. What the article was going to share was the fact that Daniel said in the last days that travel would increase and knowledge would increase. This article does a masterful job of showing the increase, both knowledge and travel, happening in our world today.
And we don't have to go into it. We know it. So let's go back and think a little bit about what we're hearing today. And for me, God is going to show the heathen, God is going to show the heathen his righteous judgment. That's what I read at the beginning in Ezekiel chapter 39. God is going to put on display the nations that being said, then he turns and he says, now that Israel has been judged for its sins. Yeah, I'm here, but we're not going to figure it out. Okay. So the question remains, are we ending the righteous judgment of God? And he does, there's not just one time in judging our accountability. We're going to be judged for what we have done, and God will use judgment always to do what? To separate righteous from the unrighteous, to separate the wheat from the chaff. So country and around the world is going to separate. And that which is separated unto judgment, the decree of guilty for the bloody stripes, are going to suffer. And in the book of Ezekiel as well, when God came down to see Sodom and Gomorrah, and he looked and he says, I'm coming down to see it. I've heard is even, you know, even partially true. And when he came down and he saw what they were doing, he made a pronouncement. I'm going to destroy the entire five cities surrounding Sodom and Gomorrah. And I want you to, and then Abraham intercedes for Lot, and Lot and his family come out to a degree. And in the book of Ezekiel, we're told that even if Job, Noah, and Daniel were in the city, they would not have the ability to save their children. So in other words, only the righteous will be spared, not the wicked. See, people have always said, well, if there's 10 righteous in the city, then God will spare the whole city. But in the book of Ezekiel, if there are 10 righteous in a city, only those 10 will be spared. The other population will be judged. And that's where we are right now, and that's what we're about to witness. So to the degree of our sins and our crimes that we've committed, just like a person that goes on a killing spree or a stealing spree or some kind of a sinful spree, they're going, and they're finally apprehended. And now they're put in jail, and they're going to wait for their time to stand before the judge. America has been apprehended, and America is now going to stand before the judge. And so what we find in the prophetic community is a lot of Christians are interceding for America. And yet, in justice, in the mind of justice, when a person goes really bad things, like Epstein, for example, was with a bunch of high-powered politicians from around the world, he was finally apprehended for what he was doing. Okay? Now, the church didn't step in and say, oh, let's pray for Epstein to be spared, come forth, let everything be okay, without him repenting. Now, I could understand praying for the soul of Jeffrey Epstein that he would repent for the crimes he committed, but that didn't happen that we know of. He was murdered in a cell. So if the church really understood the moment, we would understand that the only right thing to do is come out of her, my people. Be separate, touch not the unclean thing, lest you become a part of her sins and her plagues. Okay? So I believe what we're going to see in these days that we're in right now, the any moment from this moment forward, all the way through when? I don't know. Springtime? Only God knows what's going to happen between November, December, January, February, March. And it could happen today, anything. Anything could happen. You know, the big debates coming up and the election coming up, you know, that's the main distraction. But there's something more that we need to pay attention to. And from my biblical perspective, I believe is that God has declared the apprehension of a nation that's now going to stand before, and they're going to receive their punishment for what they've done. And to the degree of our blasphemy, to the degree of our rebellion, to the degree of our innocent blood being shed within our nation, unrestrained, unrestricted, to the degree of our sexual immorality and our perversion and our depravity, to the degree of our mediocrity, lukewarm.
All right, so to the degree that we see, I think we've made it abundantly clear what we're facing here. And I think biblically it becomes abundantly clear, okay? It becomes abundantly clear that what we are about to face is coming from God in the sense of he's allowing. And how does he judge? When he judged Israel as being guilty, he allowed the Babylonians to take them over. He allowed the Assyrians to crush them. He allows the enemies that are worse than his own people's sins, if you will, to be powerful against them. So when we wake up in the next few days and we see in our country the degree of violence. Now, if we have a couple of protests like we saw, that really didn't matter to our country, did it? I mean, the news media played it for a little bit. It was anarchy, civil disobedience. We saw some fire, some violence, you know, but it really didn't shake the nation for the most part. It really didn't. For the most part, it stayed in the inner cities, and it was a big show, and it had some drama to it. But that's not what the judgment may prove to be. I think that we saw a preview, and time will tell. You're going to find out. I'm going to find out very soon in the days that lie ahead what this is all about. But the idea for you and I is to prepare. The thing that God would have you and I do is prepare. Now, I know that there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Christians that are gathering together to try to pray this thing away. But that would be like going to the judge after the criminal has been apprehended, and then because you live in the same neighborhood or whatever the case is, and telling the judge, please don't judge. Please don't judge. Let mercy be upon it. Let mercy be upon it. And yet God told Jeremiah, do not pray for this people. Even if Moses and Samuel stood before me to intercede, I would not hear them. So, you know, the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands or millions of Christians that are praying for the judge of the universe to spare America. But the part of America that's been on a spree of violence and blasphemy and evil and shedding blood and wickedness, I think God looks at the church sometimes and says, why are you praying for me to spare them and rather not judge it so I could cleanse your land from the wickedness that is within it? You know, if you're praying for the salvation of all these people, you're praying for their souls, that's one thing. You know, maybe these conditions they're going to go through will cause them to cry out to me. When last time I read in Psalm 37, I believe it was, when men come to their wits' end, they cry out to God. Who knows if these violent times won't create the cry in the heart of people when they see the dramatic reality of the intense violence and the intense judgment that's going to fall. You know how intense the judgment could be? It could be that nuclear bombs are detonated in the United States. And it could be what Dmitry Dudeman said when he said that there would be internal conflict and then the outside enemies would attack. It could be online or on the scale of something unimagined. 9/11 was unimaginable for a lot of people in our country, even around the world. But we heard from the beginning that 9/11 was a preview of what was to come if we did not repent. And you have to ask yourself a question about America. Did we repent after 9/11 2001? We're 19 years down the road. Did we repent? Repent from what? Did we stop slaughtering innocent babies in the womb? Put away the homosexual agenda in our country? Did we demand Hollywood to not allow blasphemy to come out of the television? Did we demand more honor in our leaders in our country? Where did we repent? We wake up 19 years later, and not only have we not put away the homosexual agenda, in 2015, we solidified it by promoting laws
making it legal for men to marry men and women to marry women, et cetera, et cetera. We've seen the crass reality of pedophilia and transgenderism in our country. Only God knows if it's going to go into bestiality if it was allowed to do so, if it's not already being committed, maybe just not legally. So you see these things, the blood is still being shed, the blasphemy is still happening. If anybody's woken up, maybe it's been a few Christians here and there, and yet they're waking up and they're coming out of a deep sleep and they're just praying, oh, don't let judgment come. But I think those have been more awakened by the Holy Spirit, who have been living their lives in honor of the Lord. I do believe there are men there that are basically saying, we see this. We saw this coming. We saw that the day of accountability would come to America, that you can't just live this way and against God. You can't light up the White House, for example, in absolute rebellion against God's word that calls this an abomination and get away with it. So now that we're apprehended, why the intercession from so many Christians? Is it for themselves because they're enjoying their lives here on planet Earth? Why are people wanting the wicked to go free? Why do we want judgment to pass and just allow wickedness to continue? Well, maybe they're saying, well, if you give us four more years of Donald Trump, the new Supreme Court justices will stop the abortions and will politically do all these things and we'll wait for them to move. I'm not so sure that's going to fly. You know, I don't know if that's really the direction of a nation of people that we're called to be, we the people of the United States of America. That when our legal people or our leaders do what is unjust, it was our responsibility to make sure that they were dethroned. But we never did it. We allowed them to come and take over, and they rule the nation now. And we, the people of the United States, have become slaves to a oligarchy of elites that are moving the country and have moved it for many, many years in a direction that wasn't right. And we never stood up. We didn't have the chutzpah. We didn't have the guts. We didn't have the passion to stand up against what was evil. People went down to the abortion clinics and they stood in line and they waved signs, but they continued to pay their taxes to have those abortions taken care of. They continued to allow it to happen. Their signs didn't shut anything down. Their signs didn't do anything. Their protests didn't do anything. And so we have a silent majority who has allowed a small elite to take us into places, and now we're here and we're all shouting out, please don't let judgment come. Well, listen, the ship is in the midst of the sea of political and social agitations, and the Euroclydon storm of Acts 27 is becoming more intensified than ever before. And what appears to be a beautiful day today, like on 9/11/2001, a beautiful Tuesday morning in New York City and in Washington, D.C. and over Pennsylvania, is going to turn into a nightmare. And what everyone is saying is prepare, but all the years of the warnings, you better get ready, nothing happening. It's like the little boy who cried wolf, and eventually people stopped paying attention. But the warnings were always true. What were the warnings? Come out of the world, don't touch what's evil, grow in the knowledge of, in the spirit of God's grace, prepare yourself, spirit, soul, and body, for the day that will come. And the timing of the day, everybody along the way felt it, particularly in the prophetic community of those that were really aware of what was going on. They felt it. They knew what was coming. And when you're in the spirit and you're in the prophetic, it's like happening right now. You're transported into that reality at the very moment, which is a very unique thing. But in the actual timing of the fulfillment, Jeremiah, for 40 years, he prayed. He warned for 40 years. He wept for 40 years. He knew it was coming. It was coming. And they laughed at him. They mocked him. They put it down. They did their aligning. They continued on with their business, their politics, et cetera, et cetera. 40 years later, Jeremiah was walking through the rubble because it was actually fulfilled. And the book of Lamentations tells us all about that. So the point of our conversation today is simply FBI, Homeland Security, CIA, military, the White House, governors and states all throughout this country are racing. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you be prepared? Why wouldn't you be making sure? Yesterday on the podcast, I warned people, tie up your loose ends. Get everything done you wanted to get done. Don't slow down now. Finish your projects. Get the work done you've been called to do. You could pray all you want to, but while you're praying, you need to get things done. And time will tell. The reality is, time will tell. Time will tell. This day of judgment, as America's going to court, the sentence that will be released. My spirit tells me, the word of God tells me, that America's ready to collapse. It's ready to be broken. And the hopes and the dreams of a better day, part of the judgment is you don't get that. You won't get that till later on. And I believe the later on is the millennial kingdom. You know, even a thief, when he's out stealing, has dreams for the future. One day I'm going to stop stealing. It's going to be better. The drug addict, the same thing. But along the way, they're committing crimes they must be held accountable for. America must be held accountable for her crimes. And the cry of mercy and God is good. I mean, that's been going on for 60 years. That time is over. That time is over. 60 years of taking God out of our society, warring against God, taking him out of our public schools, taking him out of our government. 60 years of blasphemy coming out of Hollywood. 60 years of shedding innocent blood, sex-craved mania being promoted. 60 years. It's time. It's time. And it appears that this year, 2020, is the time that is all brought together for a moment, and we must be alert. And if this year passes and nothing happens, do we just throw our hands in the air and walk away from God and say, well, none of this really is true, and let's just all, you know, get ready for whatever? No, because at some point, the nation must be held accountable. Jonah, yeah.
40 years.
Yeah, that's right. 40 years for Jeremiah. And then came the years of judgment. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, Nineveh was Jonah. No, that was a different deal with Jonah.
They were given 40
years. 120 years.
Only.
No, they were given 100. 100 years. Patricia and I are having a conversation right now. But anyways, much more to say right now, especially in the conditions that we're in. We're just broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. It is a gorgeous day today. What I said yesterday is true for today. Jesus said, live one day at a time and don't worry about tomorrow. And I think one of the best ways of not worrying about tomorrow is preparing today and tying up loose ends, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. And let's see where this all goes. But let's not see from an observer's position, but from those who are in the field, in the know, that had every potential to get everything right, everything prepared. And if you walk away being fully prepared, nothing happens. You've lost nothing. If you enter into this moment and more than what we ever dreamed happens, and we get into that World War III after the anarchy, civil disobedience, and civil war in our own country are over. Then comes the global World War III. And then comes the lights out scenario. And we just ticker tape right into the Great Tribulation. And we're there right now. And we've come to the entrance of the door of the Great Tribulation. And some things are going to happen rapidly. We'll see. Time will tell. But it is God's word. And we are preachers of God's word. We are not preachers of our own methodologies or ideas. God's word is more dramatic than anything written in any story anywhere in the world. And his word will prevail. And what we desire more than anything is a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We want true righteousness. We don't want people walking into our houses or upon our land stealing things. I mean, can you imagine? People steal from churches? How bizarre is that? People steal and go to church? Or they infiltrate churches and steal? Can you imagine that? No, if you only understood the depravity. I told Patricia last night, I said, what I would like to do at one of our great big meetings at the church, I want to get a video of all the disgraceful, filthy, unclean things that are going on in our country from little cuties on Netflix and all that stuff, and just play it for the church and say, look at this. What are you interceding for? What are you praying for that God doesn't do anything? If you saw the wickedness, the depravity, the demonic, your heart would turn. That's what God did with Jeremiah. God showed, remember Jeremiah was resistant. God, why are you going to judge Israel? And God began to show him things that Israel was doing. Remember, he took Ezekiel into the elders that were worshiping the sun. He began to show him the things that were going on, and then their passion churned from interceding to, Lord, let it rip. And not until the church really understands the depth of evil that is going on in this world. And it's covered with this facade of God's beautiful earth. The sky belongs to the Lord. The trees belong to the Lord. The sun warm days belong to the Lord. That's all God's beautiful creation. The mountains and the oceans and the deserts. That all belongs to God. We could worship God, but men's hearts in what is promoted. And then to the remnant of true believers on this earth, salute. Salute to the true believers. Salute to the true believers. I would open the telephone lines up if anybody wanted to call. The number is 818-369-0326, but I'm not sure if we're coming through loud and clear or not. And just as an observer, I do want to make it abundantly clear, and I said it yesterday as well. Patricia and I, personally, are having the best moment in our lives. Been married now 28 years. Our friendship has grown exponentially. Our times together are absolutely splendid. And whereas in times past, the enemy used to mess with, you know, trying to make things difficult, I mean, it's gone. We are living the best life we've ever had right now. And we haven't had to sell out and become lukewarm and compromise. We just continue to honor the Lord. We understand and be obedient and be honest about what we say and how we live. We don't speak with one thing and then do another. We live, we prepare, we're ready. We're ready to go across this country. And we've taken this little RV that was so graciously granted to us on a maiden voyage. We've learned a lot about it. I'm so glad we're nearby, but we're ready to go start churches. We're not, you know, doing anything. When the lights go out and we can't work anymore, then we won't. But these days we're talking about haven't done anything against us. Now, when they come, if we're watching the smoldering ash of incinerated cities because of nuclear bombs going off, I'm sure that it's going to check all of us. And I do believe that there are blind spots and a lot of us don't see things as clearly as we ought to or could. But it's not intentional. We're not trying to hide. We want to know everything. We want every crevice to be filled with the light and glory of Jesus Christ. We want internally our minds to be clear. We want no offense toward God or men. We hold no bitter resentment, no offense, no unforgiveness. No, we're living in the joy of the Lord because the Holy Spirit is in us. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we can have that as Christians. Even with the awareness of the times we're living in, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We rejoice in every test because we know it's working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. We know that our faith is going to be more precious than gold and silver. We know these things. And so we continue to prepare. We continue to live. We trust our God. We believe in refuges and Goshens and arks and wildernesses and mountains. where God's going to prepare places for his kids. We want you to be there. We want you to be in a safe place, in your spirit, assured of your salvation. Not one of those people that are going to say, Lord, Lord, open unto me. We did all these things in your name. No, it has to be more secure than that. You have to know something in the depths of your heart. You have to know him. You have to know his voice and then be led by his voice and obey his voice. Your character is the greatest witness as to your relationship with God. Your character and my character. The transformation of the internal parts of our life, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is the proof. It wasn't the gifts. I cast out demons. I healed the sick. I preached in your name. That was not the fruit they were to be looking for. What was absent was in a relationship, an intimate, personal, inward relationship with Yeshua always produces transformation and change. And without that, you're deceiving. You could be deceived. So what I mean by taking an account is what kind of change is happening in your heart? What kind of fruit are we bearing? What kind of a character is being established within us as we go? And if we still want to punch people out, knock people out, and we're still angry and frustrated and bitter and resentful, folks, that's a sign. You're not really saved. You're not really saved. You think you're saved. And you excuse yourself from these things. Well, I have a right to be angry. No, you don't. Not if you're going in the realm of transformation. You have no right. I have no right to have bitter anger and resentment in my heart towards a brother, especially, or a sister. Are you kidding me? It's a proof that you're not ready. You may have all the right words. Believe me, I'm speaking out of experience here. You may know that Bible inside and out and be as accurate as could possibly be. But if your heart still carries resentment, bitterness, anger, you have something inside of you that wants to rage, man, you're not there yet. I wouldn't want to go into these end times with that in my spirit. I would want to admit that I'm wrong if I have those things and beg God for repentance, the gift of it, and cleansing. I would want to wash every part of my soul from those lesser qualities, because they can't go into the kingdom anyways. I would be definitely preparing my mind, my thoughts. I wouldn't just be walking around saying, man, I got these thoughts. I'd do something about it. I'd take them captive. I'd bring them under the obedience of Jesus. I would cry out to God and beg him to wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, to purge. And having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. These are the things we ought to be doing, getting our minds, our hearts, our souls washed and bathed in the blood of Yeshua, purified and cleansed. This is important for what is coming physically in the natural physical world. It's already pretty bad, depends on where you live. But it's about to get bad all over the world. You have to be ready, and you have to be prepared. Make this your daily walk with God. If you have something in your heart, you got to deal with it. You have to. You can't just get up one day and talk about how angry you are at everybody and then tell everybody how angry you are and then just cover it up and don't do anything about it. Because you know what? Your anger, your violence, your I want to punch somebody in the head, that's a sin in your life. I want to do bad. I want vengeance upon somebody. That's your sin. That's your sin. That's not, you know, the other person that's driving you crazy. They have their own issues, but you can't justify yourself carrying things in your heart. Nor can I. We have no right to it. And the moment we give up our right to carry things that are ungodly, now we're on the path of repentance, confession, transformation. In other words, we have to go into these last days as purified, as purged, as cleansed, as washed as ever before. You could go into these last days having $10 billion. You could have as much gold and silver you want with more food and weapons as the whole world combined. But if the heart and the soul are not cleansed, it will not matter. Better to have your spirit purified, your soul, your conscience, your subconscious cleansed, your love intact, and then have all those things. Now you're ready to go. But you can't have an imbalance. You can't be physically prepared, but not soulically prepared. You have to be spiritually on fire for God. You have to have passion in your heart for Jesus. You want to win souls? Start talking to people in the unredeemed world. You have to do something with your life. While you go, you know, Noah preached for what, 100 years? But he was building. He built an ark. But while he was building, he was preaching. He was reaching out to the people around him, calling them to repentance. And though none came that we're aware of, he preached and he lived before them a righteous life. He was called a righteous man in his generation. So, having said these things, I leave these things with you. I leave these things with you. And in about 12 days, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, we'll all find out the truth of the matter. And I think I've said everything I could possibly say. I want my brothers and I want my sisters cleaned up before the Lord as they want me cleaned up before the Lord, as their pastor, as their friend, as their brother and their sister. They don't want to be around me when I'm walking in the flesh or having a carnal mindset. They don't want me to start acting out. I'll tell you that right now. And I don't want them to. I want God's kids to be prepared, especially the New Wine Ministry family. I want us to be prepared. The people that came up to the Feast of Tabernacles, I want them to be prepared for the days that lie ahead. And I want you to be prepared. I want you to be ready, spirit, soul, and body. Because let's say nothing happens and all of a sudden everything is normal and another 5 years goes by, but 3 weeks from now, one of us dies for whatever reason, still had to be prepared. True, your physical stuff wouldn't have mattered to you, but it could be passed on to someone else. But let's say 2 weeks from now, are you prepared in your spirit? What's the most important thing? Spirit, soul, or body?
All night.
You tell me. And Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to let it go for today. I'll keep on working on how to bring a better program to you while we're out on the road. We cannot do Facebook or YouTube or Omega Radio yet because we're not in a good Wi-Fi place. We're in the wilderness. But this computer is now being used for Blog Talk, and I think I know a way to make it a little bit better. Just have to keep working on it. And Lord willing, we'll be seeing you tomorrow. This is Pastor Vince. Have a super blessed Thursday. Until we meet again. Shalom, and God bless you.